Good morning, folks. Again, lovely to see and to welcome you all to our service of worship this morning. To any who are visiting with us, you're very specially welcome again today. Do remember the United Evening Service tonight then, it's in Brookside. And again, this is the Belfast City Mission Service at the usual time, 6:15. Then this oncoming week, tomorrow night, the Men United Christmas dinner, 7:30 sharp, please, men. Do remember the midweek at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night when we'll be studying the second servant song from Isaiah chapter 49. Times of prayer this oncoming week, Friday night, the first Friday in the month, or the revival prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. We'd love to see you there, as the other times, Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 11 a.m. Saturday night, there's the first light Christmas music and First Ballymena. Again, there's three from Trinity involved in that. That's a great evening of Christian Christmas music. And then these little leaflets were given out this past week from Ahochel right down to the far side of Gilgorm, and they've been really wonderfully used. And again, if you can ask somebody to come to any of our choral services, these are in the vestibules, and please take one if you can ask somebody else to come. Then Samuel has asked me, it's time to order the Presbyterian Herald again, and there are postcards like this in the vestibules, and please take one, and if you would like to get a copy, please fill in this postcard and return it to Samuel. Subscription for the year for 10 copies is £15 for the year. And then there's, under the auspices of the Scripture Union, there's a school ministry conference in Stranmillis University College on the Saturday, the 1st of February 2000. Again, there's information of that in the vestibules. Then lastly, the Christmas dinner for the bus pass holders. And there again, there's little cards on this vestibule. If you would like to come to that, please take one. Or if you can use this card to invite somebody else, please do take one. And again, we need to put names down. There's sheets in all the vestibules. If you would put your names down for that dinner, which is on Saturday the 14th. Of December at 5 p.m. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. George, thank you for bringing the announcements to us today, as always, and we thank you for your help in that regard. And sadly, so often in Trinity, we're announcing deaths, and it's nice this morning to announce a birth, and we give our congratulations to Stuart and Amy on the birth of their little daughter, Poppy. Sarah Margaret Gillespie, had to get it all out, and of course to Margaret and to Stephen on the arrival of their first grandchild. We trust God will be blessing you all. Well, today we're going to be thinking about the first servant song in the book of Isaiah. We'll be thinking of that later on in our service, and a theme that kind of travels its way through Isaiah 42 is the theme of justice. And as we come to focus our mind and to focus our attention on God, I want to read the opening three verses of Psalm 106. We read, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right." So we're going to worship our God today on this first Sunday of Advent with our opening hymn, "Hark the Glad Sound." Let's stand together as we praise our God. Well, let's come before God, let's quieten our hearts as we seek his face in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we do want to say thank you that we're found in your presence today. And we thank you and praise you on this first Sunday in Advent that we can look forward. We can look forward in expectation as we think about what it was like for you to come into this world. And we thank you that even as we've been singing, for all the things that the Lord Jesus accomplished when he was here on earth, we thank you that he was the one who healed the sick. We thank you that he was the one who gave sight to the blind. We thank you that he was the one who did so many miracles. We thank you that he had the power to walk on water. He had the power to take a little bit of bread and fish and feed 5,000 people. We thank you for all the wondrous things that the Lord Jesus did while here on earth. But oh, we want to say, especially, we want to say thank you that the Lord Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Matthew's Gospel reminds us of that. You're to give him the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we thank you that as we travel towards this Christmas, that that is still the same message. We thank you that it's Jesus Christ alone who can bring salvation. And our prayer would be, Lord, that each one in this gathering would not just simply know the Christmas story, but would know the Christ of Christmas reigning in their hearts and in their lives. Father, we thank you for the joyous message we have to proclaim. And we pray, Lord, for each one who would know Jesus in a personal way, that you would help us to make the most of those opportunities, even over these incoming weeks. Father, we want to say thank you for your blessing of the past week. We thank you that you've been with us in numerous ways, and we again return to your thanks and praise for that. We so often can take things for granted, but again we acknowledge that without you we would be lost, but without you, Lord, our lives would just be in a mess. And so we say thank you for all of your goodness day by day. But Lord, as we would gather before you and gather in your holy presence, we realize, Father, we need afresh to come and confess our own sins. We need afresh that cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that even here today, may we know that. May we know you drawing close. May we, Lord, in the quietness of this place, be able to confess to you those things that we know are not right. Oh, Lord, we pray that today that those who know and love you, that as we worship you, that afresh we're doing that with clean hands and a pure heart. And Lord, we pray then that you would come, that you would take preeminence over all that would be said and done in this meeting house today. We pray, O Father, that our focus would indeed be upon you, and we pray that you would be uplifted and glorified. So, Father, come, meet with us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me encourage you, please, to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. This first servant song in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 9, Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42, reading from verse 1, and this is the word of God. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord God says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken away, and new things I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. Amen. Ending there, we know that God will bless the public reading of his precious word. My boys and girls, if you'd like to come up to the front, and those who are maybe in year 8 or 9, if you'd like to help me this morning as well, we need people who have some muscles on them to be able to help carry some toys. So if you come up to the front, and then we'll get organized. So much for coming to the front. Some of the bigger boys and girls up at the front as well. Have a wee seat just for a little second. Over the past number of weeks, people have been bringing gifts for the Belfast City Mission, some toys, some food, toiletries, and they're all packed in my office, so I'd be glad to get rid of them today. But what we're going to do is, because it's easy just to say, well, Paul and Noreen will collect them and take them away, but I always think it's nice then for them to come in. And so the people who have given something see it coming in, and then that will be distributed in the days ahead. So Matthew, you're at the end. You lead us out. And if you go out, does everybody follow Matthew out there? And there's a couple of people out. They'll have the toys and so on. And then Matthew, if you lead everybody back in down this way, I'll meet you at the tree. And then just keep going in and out until there's nothing left. All right, so off you go. Away you go, Matthew. Lead us out, and we'll bring in everything. You want to help us, well? Good man. Great. So there's been a huge response this year for this. So thank you so much. There's cars, which are great. So just keep going around in a circle. Everything comes in. Who's this here? Brilliant. Thank you. And trucks, and more trucks. Good. 1,000 bricks. Good. Oh, lovely. Super. Oh, and a dolly. Just what I would need. And Jumbo Crafts, thank you, and more stuff. Connect Fours, great. And oh yes, a kangaroo game, that sounds good. Right, Peppa Pig. Oh, brilliant, you're doing a great job, thank you. You back around again, fireman. Super, and a wooden train set. And more puzzles. And another dolly up, look at that. If they were only stay like that, it'll be good. All right, okay, what else have we got? Another dolly. Yes, Frozen. I'm sure that'll be well received by somebody. And look at this here. A fairy tale castle. Great. Run out of room. Another dolly. And fire engines. Okay. Race to the Base, right? And the Lion King. Wow, isn't it just brilliant? And a dolly. Oh, I like him. What do you think? Do you like him? Lovely teddy. And good. Oh, blocks, brilliant. We're going to have to go in here, I think. Right, good. More Lego. And yes, good. Mr. Potato Head. Okay, don't buzz the wire. Another dolly, beach puzzles. Wow, you nearly finished out there. No, it doesn't look like it. Wow, you can see why I'd be glad to see all this coming out of my minister's room. So that'll be good. Good. Oh, thank you, animals. Thank you so much. More blocks. Peppa Pig. More blocks. Wow. Monopoly. Yes. Great. More teddies. Great. And thank you so much. A unicorn. But no girls would like that, I don't think. Right, good. And a car. Are we nearly finished? We're going to run out of room. Another teddy. Brilliant. Pencils. Great, great. Fantastic. Thank you. Play-Doh. Great. No, we're still coming. Oh, great. Good, that's it. Thank you so much. So you can come back and sit in the front here. Oh, I'm dizzy. Well done, everybody. Thanks for helping out this morning. But sincere thanks to the congregation. And I know that will be a tremendous help to Paul and Lorraine and other mission halls around Belfast as they practically show the love of the Lord Jesus by giving toys. I know there's also some food. I didn't get the children to carry in the food. And again, people have been very kind on donating food as well. So thank you for that. And I trust that as those gifts are given, that it may well give the missionaries another opportunity to share the gospel. And maybe as a means of getting into a home even for the first time. And as they share that, we trust that even in days ahead, they might see spiritual fruit from that. In a moment or two, we're going to sing a hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter. And that hymn, many of you know, ends up, final part says, what I can I give him my heart. And today you've been good to give gifts for the Belfast City Mission. But more than anything, I trust that we would be giving our lives afresh to Jesus. We'll be saying, here we are, Lord, take us and use us in whatever way that we can. So I'm going to pray with the children, and then we'll worship God with our hymn. Father, we thank you and we praise you today for your goodness. We thank you for the boys and girls sitting at the front of our meeting house today. Would you bless them? Would you encourage them? We thank you for those who have just finished their recent transfer tests. They'll be glad to have that over and then that this long, anxious wait, wondering the outcome of that. Be with them. And we pray that having completed the test, that they'll be able just to enjoy the rest of time at school. We thank you, Father, for the generosity of this congregation and supporting the work of the Belfast City Mission. Thank you for all of these toys and foodstuffs that have come in. We pray that that would then be transported up to Glencairn and over the next few weeks distributed to needy families around the city of Belfast. We pray that that would really speak into hearts and lives, be a means, Lord, of reminding people that others are thinking about them, even at Christmas, and that you might use that for your glory. We pray especially for Paul and Lorraine and their work in Mayo Street. And we ask, Lord, that you'll continue to encourage them. Continue, Lord, to give them openings and new openings, even in that large district. May they know the goodness of God at this Christmas time. So, Lord, thank you for all that you mean to us. And indeed, bless these gifts and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing together as we worship God that lovely hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter. And as we sing that, the boys and girls can go back to their seats.
As your daughter's I run.
Well, as we come to our prayers of intercession today, we want to remember the forthcoming elections. Some folk were up at Stormont yesterday, and again, to see that place and to see new MLAs working there is a sad sight. But of course, this is a general election. And yesterday, just at the gates, giving a little leaflet, somebody said, "I'm voting for parties who regard both lives. Both lives matter." And again, that's all we're going to say about that this morning. But as you vote, then whatever parties are in line with those who have a clear objection to the abortion should indeed be parties that we would be supporting in our voting. Also want to remember the 2020 Vision Mission. Soon be 2020. When we started to plan this, it seemed like a long time away. I remind you that there's a prayer meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock in First the Huckle. And if you're available, come and join us at 3 o'clock. So let's pray before our God today. Loving Father, we do thank you we can bow before you. We do thank you, Father, for those who took the time to go up to Stormont yesterday and took time to be part of that silent protest. Thank you even for the young man that I was able to engage with from Liverpool, who had made the effort to come from Liverpool just to be part of that. And Lord, indeed, spoke volumes. And yet as I got to converse with him, he didn't know Jesus in a personal way. And we pray, dear Father, that you might even used even something that was said yesterday to speak into his heart and life. But Lord, we do realize we're coming quickly to a general election. We do realize that's all before us. And we do, Lord, sense even that sense of apathy, that people are just disillusioned with politics or politicians or MLAs. But Lord, we realize that this is an important thing to go and to cast our vote. And so we pray that even on the 12th of December, that again, that you would be leading and guiding your people to vote in the right way. We pray, Lord, that those who would govern us would indeed be men and women who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who would stand for such issues that we would stand for, and that, Lord, that even in days ahead, we would see better governance throughout our little province. And Lord, we realize we're now in December, this year's quickly coming to a close, and we want to pray very much today for the 2020 Vision Mission. We want to pray for Jonathan Curry, and we realize, Lord, 6 months' time, that mission will be right in front of us. And so we ask, O Father, that you will continue, Lord, to prepare the ground for that time of mission. Thank you for all of those invitations that have gone out in the past week. A little introductory way of speaking to folk right throughout our districts. And we pray that those little invitations, even to carol services, the printed message going through into homes, Lord, that you would take that you would use it even at this time, and that we would see, Lord, even folk who maybe at this moment in time don't have any time for the things of God, engaging with your word and coming to know Christ in a personal way. So, Lord, use all of that for your glory. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are the sovereign God. You are the one who had that perfect plan. You were the one who had planned that you would send Jesus. That you were the one, Lord, who foretold all of that in the Old Testament. And indeed, we've seen that fulfilled in the New Testament. And so we pray that our confidence would indeed be on you, and that we would rest upon your promises. And indeed, we would rejoice that we have a God who is sovereign over all the affairs of man. So, Lord, continue then to meet with us today. Continue, Lord, to give us that expectation that you'll come and speak to all of our hearts. We pray all of this in our Savior's great name. Amen. Well, as you've been noticing this morning, you'll see extra faces in the choir. We're glad of folk who have joined into the choir for Christmas. It's our own carol service on the 15th of December, and these folk will be helping out along with the folk who are always in the choir. And just now, the choir going to lead us in a piece, "Earth Was Waiting," and as they lead us in that, your gift, tithe, and offering for the Lord's work will be received. Thank you, choir. Well, thank you to the choir for their ministry this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus came indeed to be that Savior, Son of Mary, Son of Joseph, Son of David, Son of Man. Thank you, Father, that he came as your Son. We thank you that he came for that purpose, to lay down his life on the cross. We thank you for all the benefits we enjoy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our rich salvation found in him alone. And we thank you today we can return to your token, which rightly belongs to you. We ask you'll take these gifts, you'll bless them, and that you'll use them for the extending of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we come to God's word, let's worship God again with another great hymn. From heaven you came, helpless babe. And as we sing those words, the boys and girls will leave for children's church. Well, that was great singing, great volume as we were worshiping our great servant King. Well, let me encourage you then to turn to that passage we read earlier, Isaiah chapter 42, this first servant song in the book of Isaiah. And with God's word before us, let us pray. Father, we thank you that we've been lifting our voices and our worship and our adoration of you. And we thank you now that as we come to your word, that you promised to be with us. So Lord, would you help the preacher this morning? Would you help those who are listening this morning to take in what God's word is saying? We pray that we would indeed know that stillness across our congregation, that that still small voice would be heard, and indeed that there would be those who would respond to what the Spirit would be saying. So as always, Lord, we look to you, praying these things in our Savior's glorious name. Amen. Well, this morning on this first Sunday in Advent, I want to begin a short little series on the servant songs in the book of Isaiah. God willing, on Wednesday evening, I'll pick up on that. We'll think again on the second servant song, next Sunday the third servant song, and then on the 15th of December, the fourth servant song. And as we look at each of these servant songs, big thing I want you to keep in mind is the fact that these words, the book of Isaiah, was written in the 8th century before the birth of Jesus. And yet as we read these words, as we think on these words, we'll see that these prophecies shed enormous light on the life of our Savior. And so this morning I want us to shine the spotlight on the first servant song as recorded in Isaiah 42. And as you read Isaiah 42, you'll quickly discover that the key word in this chapter of Scripture is justice. Justice. In verse 1, 3, and 4, Isaiah talks about justice. But what does he mean? Well, the word translated justice includes within it scope all our longings for a better life and a better world. For Isaiah, a just world was a society operating in a way that God intended it to be. A world without corrupting idolatries. And when we as believers, when we see slums, when we see poverty, when we see oppression, when we learn of illiteracy, pollution, and human misery in all of its forms, I wonder, do we have the prophetic eyes to discern the meaning of it? Injustice is more than a political dysfunction. It is a spiritual evil, a denial of God. And our world is in such a mess, and injustice is so far advanced, systemic, and overwhelming that it is beyond our powers of correction. Should we work for a better society? Absolutely. God tells us to do so. In Amos 5 and verse 24, we read, "Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." You see, men and women, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong when children are begging on the streets for a scrap of food. It's wrong when old people are shivering in the cold. It's wrong when all the water that people have is filthy, stagnant water that's but putting disease into their lives. It's wrong when people only have food to eat from the rubbish dump. But maybe you're asking, but what is justice? Well, to put it simply, I believe justice is doing the right thing. It's interesting that in the Bible, the two concepts of justice and righteousness are so closely intertwined that often the translators do not know which term to use, righteousness or justice. And who decided what was right in society? Well, the answer has to be God. God will always be the ultimate determiner of what is right. And that's why he is the only one who can really establish justice in this world. This word righteousness is not a term that maybe we use that often. And when we do use it, it's maybe used in a derogatory sense. We maybe say, oh, he's a so-and-so, he's a self-righteous, and so on like that. Sometimes we don't use the word how it should be used. But to understand God's justice, true justice, we have to take righteousness, doing what is right, into account, or we will just leave justice hollow. Justice is the right behavior in our relation to others. And if the Presbyterian Church in Ireland is to be fit for purpose, then we need to be a denomination that has the right behavior towards others. It's right and proper that we who have so much that we give to the poor. And that's why over these past number of weeks, I've been encouraging you to think about others. Encouraging you to think about filling the shoebox, donating a toy or the food to the Belfast City Mission, financially supporting the work in Miliata in Zambia, or indeed contributing to our own Helping Hands Fund. And we realize there are many other needs, there are many other societies out there who are in need. But I remind you today that there are needs on our doorstep in Ahuachalla. There are needs in Belfast, there are needs in Zambia, there are needs in every far-flung corner of the world. And so as Christmas is fast approaching, let me encourage you to prayerfully consider your response in giving to those who are poor and those who are in need. As individuals, as followers of Jesus, we should want justice. And we should see that we have our part to play in helping to alleviate some of the suffering in the world. However, we must grasp the fact that the hope of the world lies in the servant of the Lord. He's the one who brings about justice. And in many ways, that opening introduction all about justice, it points us to the servant of the Lord. He's the one who brings that about. And it's to that servant that Isaiah points us to. And for our remaining time, we want to ask this morning, what is the servant of God like? Yes, this is the first of Isaiah's four servant songs fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the servant of the Lord, and that is who Isaiah was pointing to. The mission of the servant is a gigantic one. And that's why it was a mission for all. His mission was nothing less than to put God's plans for his people into full effect and to make the truth about Israel's God known everywhere. But what does Isaiah tell us about this servant? Well, I believe Isaiah highlights four characteristics of the servant of the Lord, and I want to consider those this morning. Firstly, there was to be a quietness about the servant of the Lord. Verse 2, we read, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. The word shout is also used to describe a thunderbolt or a raging bull. Remember when I was in the Air Force, the drill sergeant, he let out a roar out of him. And when he let out a roar, nobody stopped to question him or to ask anything about it. The sound of him shouting was enough to stir us into action. But isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus never dealt with his disciples in such a way? We never read of him screaming or shouting orders to those who were following him. He didn't assume the role of a military commander. But rather, when we think of the Lord Jesus, then we see one who was quiet, one who was a dignified leader. He simply said those words, come and follow me. And today he still says the same thing to you and to me. And maybe this morning, you need to come and follow him for the first time. He's not shouting at you, but a phrase he quietly invites you to turn away from your sin and to put your trust in him. The mission of Jesus is that you might be in his kingdom, that one day you might be with him forevermore in heaven. Today, in love and mercy, he called you. And it is our prayer that you would heed the call of the Savior, that you would know even today that your sins have been forgiven. Let me ask you, have you in recent times heard that still small voice of God? That voice of God is calling you to repentance. Maybe there's been recent times when you've been really finding it difficult to get to sleep at night. Maybe a friend has shared a word of testimony. Maybe you've read a tract. Maybe it's been a sermon. All of those means which God has been taking and God has been using. And the truth is that although you're sitting in this meeting house this morning, looking around and thinking, well, it's just another morning, the truth is maybe your heart is deeply troubled. And this has been pressing upon you. And God has been coming to you. And that still small voice, even this morning, is coming and penetrating into your heart and into your life. Please listen to that quiet voice of God and respond today. As I think of the Savior's quietness, so it's also a wonderful reminder to every Christian that we are called to be salt and light in the society in which we live. You don't have to be able to preach to be used by God. And the wonderful thing is, that your simple witness to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, that simple, quiet witness can have a massive impact on their lives. And so I encourage you to keep on going with your quiet witness, to be an effective tool for God to use. Will you even now, will you pray, Lord, give me an opportunity this week? As I go back to school, for those in university, for those in the workplace, for those who are at home and others are coming into your home, will you pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to be that quiet witness for you this week. Help me to say a word in season. Help me to be that salt, that light. Not only is the servant to be quiet, the servant of the Lord is also described by Isaiah as being gentle. In verse 3 we read, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. When we press the fast forward button into the New Testament, we read of the Pharisees who were conspiring together to destroy Jesus and thus revealing the wickedness in their hearts. And Matthew's gospel reveals the gentleness that lay in the heart of Jesus as he quoted this verse from Isaiah about being a bruised reed and a smoldering wick in his gospel account in Matthew 12, verse 20. Perhaps there are fewer things more tender and fragile than a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. And if you've ever tried to salvage a burnt piece of paper from the fire, you will know how easily, if you try to lift it, it'll just break in 1,000 pieces in your hand. In the manse, we have 2 wood burners, and most days at least one of those are lit. And nearly always, it lights without any problems, but occasionally it struggles to light. And when it's smoldering, then it needs to be dealt with tenderly. If it's disturbed too much, then it's sure to go out. In Isaiah's days, some of the Lord's people were feeling bruised. They were feeling battered. And they felt as they were about to be extinguished, to be snuffed out like the smoldering wick. God's people were discouraged and they were lacking assurance. And so Isaiah comforts them by telling them of God's servant whose dealings with them will be gentle. Perhaps as you look back on this year that's drawing to a close, this year of 2019. Perhaps it's been a really difficult year for you. Have it been a real difficult year for your family circle? It's been so horrible that you can hardly wait to get this year coming to a close, hoping for brighter days in 2020. Perhaps the truth is so many things have happened in your life that as this year draws to a close, you honestly feel battered. You feel bruised. Maybe it's been those times when you've wondered, well, God, where are you? Where are you when those trials and the difficulties have come my way? Where are you? And yes, people are all chat about Christmas time, but maybe your heart's not really in it. And the truth is, you're crushed in spirit. Maybe for someone else, this is the reality in your life, that you feel as though you're going through the midst of a storm. There's uncertainty, and even as you try to look forward to 2020, you're filled with anxiety and you're wondering, well, how are things going to work out for me and my family circle? Well, it's wonderful to know that Jesus is the gentle servant. And Jesus is the gentle servant who wants to draw alongside you this morning. Those whose hearts are crushed, those whose hearts feel battered and bruised. And it's marvelous that Jesus cares. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we read these encouraging words, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I have a doubt there's anybody here in this meeting house today who doesn't have some cares, who doesn't have some anxieties, who isn't worried about a loved one, who isn't worried about a personal situation that maybe no one else knows about. And yet we find these encouraging words. Cast it all on him because he cares for you. And if you even got up this morning thinking, oh, I don't know whether I'll go to church or not, because all of that emotion's been in your life, then let me encourage you today that the Lord knows all about that and he wants to help you. And in his gentleness, he wants to put his arms around you. And he reminds you that he's holding you in the very hollow of his hands. What a wonderful, what a precious Savior is the Lord Jesus. Yes, he's high and holy. And at the same time, he is one who's gentle. He's one who cares for you. So Isaiah says this servant is quiet and gentle. But look on in the verse 3 and we see that he is faithful. It says, in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Our God abounds in faithfulness, and his servant will be like him. Sadly, in this world that is broken by sin, there are many marriages that are in tatters because of unfaithfulness. Promises were made, and then were broken. Hearts that were once full of love are now crushed because of unfaithfulness. But in stark contrast, our God is faithful and he will always keep his promises. Indeed, sometimes we sing that great hymn, Great is Your Faithfulness. And the chorus sums up things so beautiful. Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The Lord Jesus is faithful. And the promise is that in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Jesus is always obedient and responsive to the Father's will. And so it is his mission to bring about justice to the nations of the world in order to bring glory to God. Because Jesus is faithful to those who are facing injustice, then one day they will receive justice. at my service of ordination and installation as minister of this congregation. We sang a hymn, you'll hardly remember it, but because I chose it, I remember it. We sang the words of the hymn, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. And the chorus, it bears out my testimony. What a faithful God have I, what a faithful God, what a faithful God have I, faithful in every way. And I'm so thankful that having been in full-time Christian work for over 25 years, whether that's been Belfast City Mission, Child Evangelism Fellowship, or as a Presbyterian minister, I can testify to the faithfulness of my Savior. As I look back over those years, God has never let me down. Well, there have been times when I've let Him down, but He has never let me down. And I want to say what He's done for me, He can do for you. This great servant that Isaiah spoke of was someone who would be quiet, someone who would be gentle, someone who would be faithful, but he was also someone who was going to come with great strength. In verse 4 we read, He will not falter or be discouraged till He establishes justice on earth. In His teaching the islands will put their hope. God's servant will not grow dim or give poor light like a flickering wick. God's servant would be known as the light of the world, and through him all the darkness of sin would be dispelled. God's servant will not be crushed like a bruised reed. Rather, God's servant would be a savior of strength and power, of stamina and courage. Though he would come into the world as a servant, ultimately he would become the King of Kings, and one day every knee will bow before him. Oh, when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, surely he was someone who had great strength. He knew great rejection in his life. But think of the strength it must have took for him to take up the cross, to be willing to go to that cross. As he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what lay ahead of him. As they took him, and as they battered him, and as they beat him beyond recognition, he knew what lay ahead of him. As he walked along the road, struggling to carry his cross, with his back like a ploughed field and all the pain searing through his life, he knew what lay ahead. As he struggled to Golgotha, he knew exactly what was going to happen next. And as they took those nails and pounded them into his hands and his feet, he not only knew, but he bore the pain that we can never imagine. And as he hung on that cross, and those hours of darkness enveloped him, he knew the punishment of the world, and he experienced the rejection of Father God. Oh, what strength we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was ultimately the greatest mission of all, that he came to lay down his life. Why? That we might be forgiven. What a wonderful Savior. Oh, the hope of the world lies in the risen servant of the Lord. The delight of God, the quiet healer, the man who had the power to reorder human civilization, not by bullying, but by suffering. Not by imposing demands on us, but by absorbing our sins and miseries into himself. So here and now, on this first Sunday of Advent 2019, right now here in Trinity Ahuckle Presbyterian Church, God is gently speaking into your life, and God is inviting you to step over a line. To step over a line and to trust His servant. On the wrong side of the line, the truth is you might appreciate Jesus, but the truth is you will deal with Him only on your terms. When you're on the wrong side of the line, you won't delight in Him as the Savior of the world, and more importantly, as your personal Savior. More than you want to admit, the bottom line is you trivialize and evade Him. Often you exalt your own potential and wisdom instead of acknowledging your sin and accepting Jesus as your Savior. But here is the invite to step over the line. To step over, you will need to be humble. You will need to pray, Lord, You're the only one of the world, and You're the one who is my hope. I admit my share of responsibility for the world as it is. Forgive my injustice. Forgive my sin. Make me the kind of person that lives up to Your name. You alone are my salvation, and I give my allegiance entirely to You. Earlier we were thinking about that still, small voice. Right now is that voice again coming to you? As the Holy Spirit broods over this gathering, is He speaking right into your life this morning? I tell you, God wants you to step over that line. And He wants you to do it now. Not to say, oh, well, maybe next week or next month, or maybe when that mission comes round next May, maybe then. God wants you to step over that line now. Will you do that? Will you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you, the only one who can transform you? Or will you today refuse Jesus, the servant who was quiet, gentle, faithful, and strong? Which will it be? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for these words from Isaiah 42. We thank You for words, yes, that were written long before Jesus was ever born. And yet words that were pointing us in the direction of this wonderful Savior. And we pray, O God, that our hearts afresh would be stirred. We've been thinking about justice. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to see that we have our part to play in that. That at times we would have so much, care for so little of those who have nothing. Pray, Lord, that You would stir our hearts. Stir our hearts to begin to think about those even in our village in Belfast and right around the world who are suffering. Help us to see that we have the power to help to change that. We also pray, dear God, today for those who don't know this servant in a personal way. Oh God, would Your word come and speak loudly into their lives today. We pray, O Father, that they would realize that again You're speaking, that You're calling them to step over that line, to claim Christ as their personal Savior, to know the joy of sins forgiven, to know indeed that Christ of Christmas reigning in their hearts and in their lives. Oh, Father, we pray for those who perhaps have held back for years in this regard, that even this morning, Your Spirit would come in such a fashion that they wouldn't be able to leave this meeting house until they get right with God. So, Lord, we do look to You as ever. We do look to You with that sense of expectation, praying these things for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Well, let's conclude today as we worship God with another great hymn. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. What a faithful God have I. Let's worship our God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your presence with us. We pray that we would be encouraged as we go to know that we have a faithful God, one who will never leave us nor forsake us, one who will be with us even when we feel battered and bruised and dismayed, one that we can lean upon day by day. So, Lord, we pray that as we would part, that you'll part us now with your grace, your mercy, and peace. We pray all of these things in the Father's name. Amen.